and Liverpool podcast, bringing you news, views, and reviews. Brought to you by DeafNet Media and ArtInLiverpool.com. Presented by Neil Morin and Ian Jackson.
Hello and welcome to this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. And on this week's podcast, we bring you...
Go Penguins!
And...
A look back at Twins!
All coming up on this week's Art in Liverpool podcast. News! News, Ian. The news is we're back. We're not only back at the Blue Coats, this time we're sitting inside as it's a little bit windy outside, but we're back. We haven't been podcasting for a couple of weeks now.
We've had a bit of a break. My fault. Went away to the Lake District, took advantage of the good weather, and had a few days away, and that was great. And there's artwork there, of course, even in the Grisdale Forest. I found the sculpture trail, which is quite well known. There's about 80 sculptures in the huge Grisdale Forest, but we only had time to get around about 20 of them. But that's really great.
Of course, that used to be part of Grisdale Arts, but they've moved and they've got something brand new opening soon. Which I think is opening this week, later on this week. Grisdale, it's the brand new farm project, artist residence. Yeah, that's opening later on this week. Fantastic organisation, Grisdale Arts. And there are, I have been wandered around the Grisdale Forest and seen and played on many of those sculptures. So I was away as well, so this is why there's been this enormous gap. So, while we've been away, what's been going on?
The news is that the Penguins are coming.
The Penguins are coming. This is not something to be afraid of.
No, they're actually quite cute. We went to see them. They were launched just this week. Although they don't appear on the streets until November. This is sort of very similar to the Superland Bananas last year, which is a great hit of 2008. The same company, Wild in Art, got together with the council again and for Redmond to do this year's event, which would be Go Penguins. And of course, penguins like the cold weather, so they'll be here in the winter, and there'll be a winter trail around the city. You can discover all these little colonies of penguins leading up to Christmas. And so, from now onwards, there's a call for artists to apply to decorate them, paint them, etc., and businesses to sponsor them, and schools. Each school that wants one can have one of the smaller ones, and they can decorate that, and then that'll be on the trail in the city centre. So, I say that at the moment they're just very plain sort of white penguins, but they look nice.
I want to see Moss Bros suit hire, dinner jacket. I want to see them, I want to see them high on.
Yeah, that should be good. We were thinking about this, because the Superland Bananas are quite, you can do a lot with a Superland Banana, but because it's already a created thing, but a penguin is a penguin, and I'm not sure what you can do with it apart from decorate it differently.
Maybe stick it in a ball gown. So that's Go Penguins. So we're looking forward to, during the Winterfest Michaelmas, or that kind of mid-November to January 2010. That sounds exciting. Sounds interesting. I bet you there's going to be a colony of them in Liverpool One, which is going to be the most spectacular colony, so that everyone flocks there to look at them and purchase goods in Liverpool One.
If the business is there, pull the finger out, yeah.
Okay, now, also in the news, which has been, which I thought had only been announced quite recently, but I knew about it, but I wasn't sure if it, when it was announced. Liverpool Design Festival. Tell us more.
Yeah, there was one last year at the Liverpool Design Festival, as quite a one of the big events of 2008 again. And so the Design Initiative, who cover design, etc., for the Northwest, are organising this again, another Liverpool Design Festival, but later in the year this time. It's the end of October, early November, and at least some of it anyway, is in the crypt of the Metropolitan Cathedral, where I think the original one was going to be last year, but then it moved to Novas Contemporary Urban Centre. And so yes, they've launched a website, liverpooldesignfestival.com, and there's some details on there. It's all eco, of course, this year of the environment. Lots of eco fashion, eco design, etc.
Any eco warriors?
maybe.
Are we expecting Swampy?
Maybe. No, I don't think so. Yeah, it should be good. Yeah, there's still a lot of details to be announced, obviously, but put that in your diary for the end of October.
That sounds great. Yeah, that is Liverpool Design Festival .com, which would be really great, as you said. Very similar to last year's design show, but not exactly the same. Not exactly the same. And that's the news this week. Rounding up. We've got to round up quite a bit because we've been away quite a while. But let's start with and. Okay, that's enough. And Ian, tell us, abandon normal devices. Tell us about and. You went to the press launch.
Yeah, it does make it very difficult when you're doing trying to do headlines for this, and it just says and you always have to explain what and is. Abandon normal devices. Yes, yeah, we rushed back from Lake District because we didn't want to miss the press launch of this because it sounds really good. It's the this festival, which runs from the 23rd to 27th of September, and it features screenings, installations, online projects, public realm interventions, debates, workshops, and live events. And it's been organised by FACT here in Liverpool, Folly in Lancaster, and Corner House in Manchester. And it's great that these Northwest organisations are getting together, and they all deal in new media and that sort of thing. And so that's the sort of thing it will be. And there's they announced a few of the artists that are going to be involved. Although, and this particular one will be based in Liverpool. All events will be in Liverpool, I think, apart from maybe one or two. And so there's even one at the Tate, Carolee Schneemann, very well-known artist, will be at the Tate, or have an exhibition at the Tate. And Jamie King, who did that film, is it
Steal This Film. He's a nice bloke.
Right, yeah, I don't know him, but yeah, Steal This Film, where you go online and steal the film. and so he's doing a new feature called Dark Fibre. That should be good. And all kinds of things. Outdoor projections. DJ Spooky will be doing stuff on the waterfront. You know, the thing we've mentioned before about the art and music on the waterfront. It coincides with that, so he'll be projecting stuff onto the side of the new Liverpool Museum there and playing his music. And so, yeah, should be great.
Now, also, that's and, but also recently there was Angie Heisel. Her performance, if she, although she wasn't performing, Twins at the A Foundation. This was in association with the Blue Coat. Blue Coat paid for it. Took place at the A Foundation. Tell us about that. Did you interviewed her, but did you manage to get down and see it?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we went to the first show on the Friday evening. It was only on for the Friday and Saturday. Yeah, it was commissioned by the Blue Coats, but it was in the A Foundation in the Furnace, which is a massive space. And it was good. difficult to explain. It's not theatre in the usual sense. It's a performance art, and we were all taken from the entrance to the foundation round outside and then down Green and Jamaica Streets round to the other end, the back entrance, and all went in there. And the space was sort of divided up into areas, and there were twins, identical twins, performing in different parts of the room. And so we were just free to wander around, basically, and watch whichever bit. It sort of one set of twins would stop or pause, and then some other twins would start performing. So you sort of switch from one to the other. And I don't know how to explain what. There was some. One set of twins were obviously into aerial stuff. They were climbing up ropes and swinging around and so on. Another pair of twins were in what they built a paddling, a sort of small pool, and they were in there quite a lot splashing about. And the reflections were really interesting of the twins doing the same thing and being reflected in the water as well, sort of like the four of them. And yeah, there were just these interesting performances going on. It lasted about a couple of hours.
Mad. Mad. I've heard that it was it was humorous and at the same time, darkly serious.
It's an interesting subject, the twins, identical twins, and the whole science of it. And also, in the small room that they have upstairs there, there was a small film being shown. We didn't watch a lot of it. That was about the concentration camps there, Auschwitz and so on.
Joseph Mengele.
That's right. Mengele did some really awful experiments on twins, didn't he? Didn't show those experiments, but there was actually films of some of the twins from there, you know, the old black and white films. And so we watched that for a bit, and there were some of the current twins were in the room at the same time, just sort of moving around. So that was a bit horrible. But yeah, the people who organised this, Angie Heisel, is German, and a lot of the twins were from Germany. Some are local twins and some are from abroad. I think most of them were German. So yeah, there's the German view on that as well, their past history. And yeah, but it was humorous in places, and a bit of music as well, sort of, playing piano. So I think intriguing was the word that most people used.
It sounds really good. I'm really, you know, I was really upset that I missed it after listening to the interview that you did with Angie, which of course will make is already available on the DefNet site, and I'm sure you've linked to it already yourself, Ian. Now, also, but moving on, is Late at Tate.
Yeah, Late at Tate is this. It's normally last Thursday of every month, where we just stay up until 9 o'clock and have music and performances and usually talks by artists and so on. And we usually miss it because it's Thursday and there's always so many private views. We tend to miss the Late at Tate, but we managed to make it this time. And this time it was the people from Hope Street, was it Hope Street Association, or just Hope Street, who are sort of a collective of various performance companies, I think, aren't they? And so they organised this, and there was, again, a lot of performance art, and there was music, but there was also just people going around doing strange things. And one thing we missed, but people kept mentioning to us, was at one point, there's a lot of clowns around, and this group of clowns in the downstairs room is where the Sol LeWitt artwork is. They just were vomiting different coloured vomit on stuff. I'm being careful not to splash the Sol LeWitt painting, but that was really interesting. But we didn't see that.
But this was the colour that it's not the chart of colour, it's not the colouring of chart, it's the
colour chart. Yes, yeah, reinventing colour. So yeah, all the performers were in bright colours and carrying colour charts around and vomiting in colour. And we were just sitting in the cafe having a cup of coffee, and this chef wandered across with a big knife covered in blood. And she was speaking sort of Shakespearean, but there was all food in what she was saying, so... And she just started wandering around, and there was a fortune teller, and it was good fun.
It sounds like it. Does sound like a good night. A night to take it easy on the wine, perchance. So if you were going to head along there, for just you'd want to know what was real and what wasn't real. Now, also, which I've missed, admittedly, Kerry Hand Gallery, says Neil, craftily not having to... pronounced Henny's surname. So tell us about Henny's show at the Kerry Hand Gallery.
Yeah, I haven't pronounced this myself yet. It's Henny Acloque, or Acloque, I'm not sure. It's Acloque. When I first saw this, I kept thinking it's Henry as well, but it's Henny. Yeah, really good and really popular. I mean, Kerry's saying she's already sold quite a few works, and if I could afford it, I would have bought some myself as well. They're just so nice. Especially there's quite a lot of smaller works. I don't know, about 15 centimeters by 20 centimeters, something like that. And they're all, again, they're quite dark, but can also be quite humorous. And there's echoes of Hieronymus Bosch and Goya's darker things as well. Those sorts of things, and a lot of symbolism. A lot of the paintings have these little golden eggs in them. And there's monkeys appearing in strange places, and little doors that you don't know where they lead, that sort of thing. So good, and there's quite a few works. I haven't got the date. I think it's there till, where are we now? Early August.
Yeah, but it has had a number of good reviews. But very interesting. Very interesting. It sounds like a very interesting show. Well worth getting down and having a look. Now, go on, tell us. What else have you been going to?
The same night, actually, there was another show opened at the A Foundation. A guy called Daniel Pasteiner, who's created these large sculptures, a lot of it's sort of found objects and so on that he's put together to create interesting things. But in one room, it's rather smelly, I must say. He's built this this large thing out of, you know, the stalks of Brussels sprouts.
Yes, I'm familiar with those. Yes, I used to have an allotment.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah, well, he's created this thing out of loads of them, and he's painted them. Now, they're covered in paint, mostly black and red, and then there's neon lights going through, so they light up. They also get quite hot, and so you can smell these, the smell of aging hot Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, reminds me of Christmas Day all over again.
Yeah, actually, when you get Brussels sprouts this time of year, must maybe paint them a while ago. But yeah, there's a video work there, there's a few neon things. It's just lots of little, as they found objects, all put together, assemblages. That's really interesting.
But of course, this also marks the reopening of the A Foundation.
That's right, yeah, and I think they're going to have a series of these of sculptors. This is here just till early August, I think, and then there'll be another one and another one. I don't know how many there are. Yeah, there's going to be a few of them until the winter, I suppose.
Until it gets too cold and the A Foundation goes dark once more. Now, also, Whistler. Whistler, tell us about Whistler.
Yeah, we haven't got to see this yet, actually. This is in Lady Lever, just opened Whistler's etchings and drawings. Obviously, he's best known for his paintings, but this is a collection of really good etchings. And one of them is Speke Hall. Because I didn't know this, he used to visit Speke Hall quite often because one of his patrons lived there. Can't remember the bloke's name now, but he lived at Speke Hall at the time, so he'd come up and to the area and did some etchings at Speke Hall. So it looks really good, really good. I love etchings. That's at Lady Lever.
And that is the roundup of the week. This week, Ian, I'm looking down through this very long script. And I can see that there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. We've missed a great deal, but there's a lot more coming up. Starting off with a trip through my window this Thursday, the 9th of July, at the Arena Gallery. This is the upstairs, the other side of Novas Contemporary Urban Centre, other side, through the Leaf Cafe, up in the lift, if you can manage to do that, to Arena Studios / Gallery Space. Tell us about what's going on. What's the show about?
That's the one, yeah. I think it's the first floor. But yeah, you've got somebody who knows how to use a lift has to take you up there. Arena Gallery. It's new works by Anna Ketskemeti, and she's she's one of the arena artists. Certainly used to be. So yeah, and very nice work. I've seen her work in the past. Very nice. She explores relationships between flat surfaces and her constructs by employing painting as an exploratory method that calls into question the distinction between the painting and the object. Her words, not mine, but I would have said the same thing. Yeah, nice work. That's the viewing is on Thursday the 9th, from 6 till 8.
And as far as I remember, she's been an arena artist for a very long time. She's been not one of the originals, but a very long time indeed. However, also coming up on the very same night, round the corner at Novas Contemporary Urban Centre, is Fiche 09. And see, we even know how to pronounce it correctly because we've done this before. Fiche 09, which of course means vision. It's hard to believe that this exhibition has come around again. You know, I think it took place the same time last year. It's come around again so quickly.
Yeah, certainly last year. I can't remember. I think it was about the same time last year. Yeah, yeah. Fiche, Irish word meaning vision, and it's all Irish artists, organised by Derek Cully, local Irish artist. And this time, the majority of the artists are living in rural communities, which creates an atmosphere of quiet contemplation. Some of the artists include Eunice Seeley, David Quinn, and Emma Burkery. Yeah, should be good. He sent me the catalogue yesterday and had a quick look through. Looks some really interesting work there. I think it's certainly mostly paintings. Might be one or two 3D works as well.
Okay, so that's...
The viewing is this Thursday, say 9th of July, same time, 6 till 8, and it's at Novas Contemporary Urban Centre. I can't remember the end date. I think it's on for a few weeks, certainly.
Which sounds great. I'll go down and have a look at that myself. Now, also coming up on the same night, although I'm unsure where... Watercolours of Liverpool by Keith F. Smith. Where's this taking place to start off with?
This is at Gostin's building in Hanover Street. So we'll probably walk that way. We'll walk down Hanover Street, pop into Gostin's, and then go along to Novas and Arena. There's your art route for you. Yeah, Keith Smith, who does some really good watercolours of Liverpool. Been doing these for a long time and selling really well. You know, quite sort of A4 size, mounted and framed very well. They always they're very popular. So that's Keith Smith, and so that's, again, the viewing is Thursday, 9th, 6 till 9, at Gostin's, which is just on the first floor of the arcade in Gostin's.
Now, I find it hard to believe, but also on the same night, admittedly, starting a little earlier at 4 o'clock, but going on till 9, at Art Room, somewhere which I'm not familiar with, Summer Palettes.
You always forget where Art Room is. It could be anywhere, couldn't it? A name like that, Art Room. It's in Parkgate. On the Wirral.
It's on the Wirral. There we go. It's kind of like, there be dragons.
Yeah, you don't get across there much, do you? That's on the way to Birmingham or something. That's a bit further afield. But it does. They always start their viewings at 4 o'clock to allow people to go there first, I think, and then get across to Liverpool for the rest of the excitement. So, yeah, they always have these mixed shows, so... I don't even have the names of the artists. They're just called Summer Palettes. So the viewing is on Thursday, 4 till 9, and then the exhibition will be a month or so.
Now, thankfully, or possibly coming up the same night, there might be a viewing for New Radicals from Sickert to Freud. However, if you don't have an invite card, don't bother going along because you won't get in. However, tell us about New Radicals, being a bit of a New Radical yourself, Ian.
I certainly am, yes. Yes, you're right. There is a viewing on the Thursday night by invite only for members of or friends of NML, whatever. It officially opens to the public on Friday, the 10th. Yes, it's called New Radicals from Sickert to Freud. And I don't have any more details with me. So I just know it's people like Sickert and Freud are in it. And it's works from the Walker Gallery's collection of 20th century British masterpieces. So... obviously, not just Sickert and Freud, but other radicals as well.
This should be quite a big draw to this, you know, either to the private view or actually to the whole show in general. It's meant to be quite a major exhibition for them.
Yeah, it should be really good. Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Now, also coming up, which thankfully it's not coming up the same night, but further on this week, there's an event, summer exhibition at Central Village. Central Village is this is. Central Village, it's somewhere that I don't know, again, and it's not even on the Wirral. But Central Village, where's that?
It's somewhere that doesn't really exist yet. It's the name they're given to that area that they're going to develop. Sort of bottom of Bold Street, Central Station, that area. There's going to be a big tower block there and so on eventually. They've got planning permission, but with the money situation is, I don't know. There's even going to be like a small canal where the old railway line used to be, the overground Central Station. Anyway, but...
Hold on a minute, what are they going to do with the trains? They can't have a canal there because it will flood the trains.
Well, only a very shallow thing, just something for people to sit by and outside all the coffee bars that are going to be there, like at Liverpool One.
Because, I'm asking this now, just a little bit of clarity here. I've noticed that walking up Bold Street, there are some new, there's a new arcade going up Bold Street, you know, as you walk past the bottom end from Hanover Street, there's a new arcade there, and there is a walkway to get through, and it's kind of, you know, it's glass, and there's kind of stairs, you can go upstairs to another shop upstairs, and there's a walkway to get through, and I'm thinking, why would anybody in their right mind want to go walk through that section of shops just to get through to that dingy back alley where people dump their rubbish?
That's it. They actually made that. That's forward planning for once. that's there already to go through to this wonderful Central Village area with this little canal and so on. And that is where this what's it called? It's called summer exhibition, but it's mainly sort of arty, crafty stuff. There are some paints. Nathan Pendlebury will be there, of course. And so that shop, that you mentioned where that little arcade is Resurrection. And if you go upstairs, there's a big empty space there next door to Resurrection, and that's where they just set out about a dozen stalls, and they have jewellery, crafts, textiles, photography, etc. And it's the whole weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th, 10 till 5 on a Saturday, 11 till 4 on a Sunday. And yeah, that's it, this Saturday and Sunday in Central Village, and maybe eventually it'll spread right through that dingy back alley in future years.
Well, Alice, I just want, for no apparent reason, I just want to mention, I was going to say FOP, but it's not FOP. Flip. There used to be a shop there called Flip. I just wanted to mention that. No apparent reason. Now, also on Saturday the 11th of July, Williamson Art Gallery. Tell us what's going on. Diverse City. Tell us about Diverse City.
Yeah, a bit of a play on words then, you see. Diverse City. Diversity.
I get it.
Okay. This is the new exhibition at the Williamson on the Wirral again, Birkenhead, Oxton. Haven't been there for a while. Let's try and get to this one. And it's figures from the worlds of art, sport and business, alongside refugees and the homeless in a photography exhibition. So that's all I know, really. Diverse City looks at Liverpool through the eyes of its migrants. We've got a picture here of Levi Tafari. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. But apart from that, I don't know who else. But anyway, yeah, big photography exhibition of, as it says, yeah, celebrities, business people, and alongside migrants.
He's a nice bloke, Levi Tafari.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah.
I think he gave me a lift once from, Fee Show 8 to into town for some reason. There you go. So anyway, looking at that, that's an awful lot coming up this week, and that is this week. Further ahead, Ian. Now, there are secrets afoot, or there is a foot that is a secret. What's coming up further ahead, and I know that you don't know. So tell us what you don't know, but tell us what the secret is about.
yeah, you must have had this email as well. There's going to be a press conference at Tate Liverpool, I think it's on the 15th, is it? Something like that, where they're going to announce their major exhibition for summer 2010. And yeah, they're just not saying it, is it? They say it's a major, one of the most influential artists of the 20th century or something. So we're sort of, just could be anybody, anybody that's shown before. So we just got to wait and see. But yeah, place your bets now.
There we go. I've got no audit.
Of course, you'll hear it first on arseliverpool.com.
Yeah, and pick it up later on the podcast, of course. So carry on listening out and find out who. Very interesting, very intriguing indeed. Now, also coming up further ahead.
Yeah, just briefly, not much details. Just mention the 09 seasonal guide for July to September is out now, so there's lots of stuff in there.
I've seen it already. I was thinking, I picked it up the other day. I was thinking, there's the Art in Liverpool map in the back. But I'm sure it was only like a couple of weeks ago that the last one was out.
No, it's been nearly 3 months. They do tend to come out late. I think the last one was about a week late, so it doesn't seem that long. The last one had the colour chart on the front. This one's got the dinosaurs, because dinosaurs are coming to the arena, aren't they? The Echo Arena, walking with dinosaurs or something. But there's lots of visual art and lots of green stuff, of course, all listed in there. So, yeah, pick up a copy from the OA Place. It's probably the best place to get your 09 guide from the OA Place. What else is coming up? Redwire, they haven't had much in their gallery this year, but they've got one called Apocalypse Now. I think it's July 26th, something like that, but check on the website. Lots of artists they've commissioned, they put out a call for artists a while ago. Redwire have got a very active website and a blog, and they've been posting details of one artist sort of each day. So have a look at the blog, and you'll find out more about each artist each day. That's good.
Or follow them on Twitter.
Ah, yes, on Twitter as well, yes, on Facebook, and stumble upon as well. what else is coming up? Oh, the Arabic weekend here, mainly here at the Blue Coat, but other venues as well. It's just a weekend of Arabic arts, music, dance, etc. And that's pretty soon, 17th to 19th of July. That's always good. There's a website as well, arabicartsfestival.co.uk. And on a similar theme, festivals, street festivals and so on, Brouhaha, that's coming up again. Always a great summer event. I think the official launch is 27th of July, but there's be a few things going on before that. They do workshops in schools and all kinds, and it will go on until sometime in August. two or three weeks.
Now, one thing, which Brouhaha, always great, always good for a laugh. Loads of stuff going on. The openings are to the Contemporary Urban Centre. You need tickets for that. But then there's lots of other events, some at the Unity. Obviously, they're going to be doing the event in the Prince's Park, the way that they always do. Africa Oye, we missed Africa Oye, didn't we? Well, I went, but obviously we missed it. We didn't get to talk about it. But also, Bernie LeBlanc. But let's try and say that again. Bernie LeBel, the show at the Fact. What did you think to that?
Ah, yes, really enjoyed it. We've got to go back again, obviously, because we just went to the private view and it was very busy. And all the works there, sort of lo-fi, low-tech, mechanical things. So the audience have to actually do things, you know, press buttons and turn wheels and things. And so you sort of have to queue when it's busy to have your go. But I had a go on a few things, and it's fantastic. It's you know, great for kids as well, and just got to go back and play with it some more.
Yeah, so I had a go at the I didn't have a go on the knitting, the macrame net that's in the middle of the main room entrance as you go into Fact. But I've heard it's almost at the floor as we record this. Have been upstairs and listened to the beating hearts and watched the beating hearts up there and listened to that. I've even been and dragged myself into the coffin, wound myself into the coffin and listened to people twanging things in my ear, which is really great. It's a fantastic show, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't been in the coffin yet. I'm really looking forward to doing that. I'm just worried I'm going to get stuck in there, but that should be good. So yeah, did they let you out?
I was going to say, at your age, yeah, I'd be careful going in there, are you? You might wind yourself in and that'll be it. It'll be all over and done with.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's yeah, they let me out, of course. But no, it's really good. Really good. And there's, of course, they've got the sofa set up in the cafe as well, haven't they? You sit on the sofa and bounce up and down. It does something. I don't know what it does. Probably loosens you.
I think that switches on the knitting thing, the knitting machine we were talking about. Doing like a long crochet. Two people have to sit on sort of bicycle things and pedal these wooden pedals, but I think to actually switch it on, somebody has to be sitting on the sofa in a cafe. So it's all you need a few people. It's all about cooperating and doing things together and creating things.
It was great. Great fun. Great show. So if you don't get along to anything else, get along to that. And so Ian, we've disrupted the show by putting an event in further ahead, but we'll sign off now, and I'd just like to say thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening, and good night.
Thanks for downloading from DefNet Media.